Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
What are you doing this afternoon? Are you busy?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm singing with the Santa Rosa Symphony.
Yeah. He is singing with the Santa Rosa Symphony. It's this afternoon and tomorrow evening as well, and you can still get some sparse little tickets there. And he is remarkable. It's something very much to be proud of. Good morning to you. December, and that means a whole new set of topics, a new focus for us, not only on Sunday mornings, but also on Wednesday evenings. At our Wednesday evening, we've been having free classes. It's expanding this month. As you heard Lawrence making the announcements, we are looking at celebrations of light, and I want to mention them again, especially for our radio listening audience and our video viewing audiences, so they can also know what's going on in these Wednesdays. So starting this Wednesday on December 5th, it's Hanukkah, which has already started, and we're going to witness it and participate in it ceremoniously. So it's going to be very lovely. It's going to take place in the North Wing, and everyone is welcome to come. Wednesday, December 12th, we are going to be looking at Las Posadas, which is typically starts 12, 16 to 24. It's celebrated chiefly in Latin America, Mexico for many hundreds of years, Guatemala, Cuba, and now in Santa Rosa. It's a period of 9 days of spiritual practices, and the word posada means in. You know, it's referring to the journey of Mary and Joseph to the accommodation. And so it culminates. Often it's reenacted. So we'll learn more about that specifically. You're welcome to come and learn about it. Then on Wednesday, December 19th, we're going to be looking at the week-long celebration that honors African-American heritage. It's known as Kwanzaa. It starts on December 26th and ends on January 1st with feasting and gift-giving. And it's based on seven core principles such as unity and responsibility and self-determination and things like that. So we'll get a little insight into that on Wednesday, December 19th. And then Wednesday, December 26th, we'll be looking at the spiritual meaning of winter solstice, which usually occurs around about December 21 to 23. And it's the moment on our planet when the world is at its darkest. And so it's the beginning of the return of the light, and it has tremendous significance spiritually. So we'll be looking at that on December 26th. And then later on, I'll tell you about what other special services we have for you to enjoy this holy season. So that's Wednesday evenings for you, covered. You know where you're going to be now, in the North Wing, celebrating light and its return through the various traditions of the world. And this has been brought to us by Reverend Tara and her friends in the interfaith community. So it's quite a beautiful blending of traditions that we have at our center. Then Sunday mornings, we are focusing on happiness and fulfillment. And last week, I mentioned that we're starting with the role that forgiveness plays in our happiness and fulfillment. So there are three key points I want to look at today, starting with forgiving ourselves, and then forgiving each other, and then possibly the most important point is compassion with the process, being patient and kind with ourselves and with each other when we are having difficulty forgiving, and perhaps even finding ourselves in a place where we can't forgive, and being gentle with that, making room for that. So forgiving ourselves is the first point, and I think it can be as challenging, well, maybe more challenging than forgiving other people. And I've had to look at that and figure out a system. So I've got some ideas that have worked for me in self-forgiveness, and maybe some of them will be useful to you. And it's a three-pronged approach. Number one, get help. And why get help with self-forgiveness? Well, because it's quite difficult to untangle self-resentment all by yourself. Because typically you and I are our own worst critics, and we're the harshest on ourselves. So it can be quite difficult. So if you notice there's some unforgiveness toward yourself in you, it might be worth considering investing in some professional assistance, some guidance, because it can be quite difficult to unravel all by yourself. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, if something goes wrong with my teeth, I don't try to fix it by myself in the kitchen with a drill, you know. I don't do that. You know, and I don't even cut my own hair. Well, actually, I did once. More than once. I remembered. I thought I'm going to, you know, buzz my hair because I was going on a long bike ride. And I thought, how hard can it be? You know that? And so I did the, you know, and then I ended up having patches of hair on the back of my head because I couldn't see what I was doing, right? I thought I'd handled it. So from the front, it looked fine. But everybody who saw me from the back knew what was going on. See, that's very similar to doing your own forgiveness work. It can look good, but everybody can see what's going on, except you. Because you can't see some of the things that need to be seen. And that's why a professional can assist us in identifying and replacing the feelings, the thoughts that may be getting in the way of ourselves being fulfilled and happy in the world. So when I say professional help, there's all kinds of ways to get professional help. We have trained, licensed prayer practitioners at our center. Their directory is on our website. If you click about, you'll see a directory of the practitioners. And it also has a bio. It describes their work and their photo and their rates, because you can hire them on a fee-for-service basis. You can also consider working with a therapist as well. That's I have benefited very much from working with both when trying to navigate the sometimes messy world of forgiveness. So I call this first step, getting help, I call it also confession. Because of the healing power of having an honest but gentle look at myself and this situation that I'm dealing with, I realize that a big part of self-forgiveness is seeing, acknowledging, and accepting what's going on. You know, yes, I did that. And I shouldn't have. Or, yes, I didn't do that, and I should have. There's some power in that, owning it, admitting it, and it's a very powerful place to begin. And then the next part is following up with spiritual practices that support us, that can help soften our emotional and mental grip on the past. That's the second part of this program. You've got to help yourself with the work that's going on by being willing to follow up. But first, You might be asking, how can I tell if self-unforgiveness is even an issue? Well, you know, you got to look for the telltale signs. Like, for example, people who have a lot of self-unforgiveness, sometimes their ability to like themselves gets weaker and weaker. Sometimes what happens is we will punish ourselves by not taking care of ourselves or by developing self-destructive habits. And sometimes what happens is people will get stuck in a loop, a thinking loop, and they can't see the loop. It's like the patch of the hair in the back of the head. And so it shows up as a frequent recalling of the past mistakes. Sometimes what shows up is people are reluctant to accept compliments or opportunities or praise because they're carrying on the back of their head, if they only knew. Sometimes what shows up is self-forgiveness manifests as being resistant to doing the things that cause joy, elevate us, and give us energy. So you can do this follow-up process even if you're not sure that you've got self-forgiveness issues. You can do this anyway. This is what you do, or at least what helped me. When the thought of a memory of that transgression that you feel guilty of comes up, you pause for a moment and you say to yourself, I acknowledge that and I accept my part in it. And then you take a moment to feel the feeling that goes with it. And then you've got to be ready for the next step. You've got to be ready to follow up with something quite specific. So in other words, it takes mindful preparation. Like, for example, you might have a prayer or a mantra that you've recited, or you might have something that you carry around on a card that you can read to yourself. But you want to be very specific and very mindful about this, and you want to do it quite faithfully. You want to be religious about it, you know. It could be a short phrase such as, God is the love that I am, and then you decide to say it a certain number of times. Or it could be a lengthy piece that when the opportunity arises, you read it to yourself, like the Canticle of the Creatures, which you can get a free copy at the table out there in the social hall after the service. I'll be happy to give to you. Or, you know, a really good example would be the assigned reading from Living the Science of Mind this week has a beautiful piece in, and it's quite long, so you could actually take portions from it and write it down so that when the memory or the thought or the recollection of the past transgression comes up, you pause for a moment, acknowledge it, notice the feeling that you're feeling, and then follow up. Like, for example, imagine reading this to yourself. God is all there is. God is love. Love is the motivating power of the whole universe. God is in everything. God is in everyone. Realizing that love is the great motivating power of life, and knowing that God must be at the center of everything, today I am meeting this presence in everyone and seeing the manifestation of its life in everything. If there is any condemnation or animosity in me, I'm glad to loose it. I'm glad to release it and let it go as best as I can. And I turn to that silent presence within me, which gives all and withholds nothing. This way I enter into the harmony of God, into the joy of knowing that I am still and now in the kingdom of God, from which no person is excluded, My yesterdays are gone, and my tomorrows stretch forth into an endless future. And from out of the invisible, there comes to me these words, today thou art with me in paradise. What a beautiful practice. It's really helped me, you know. I don't bypass that first step of getting help. I've learned the hard way. But I also don't omit doing my part to support it. And then the third part of this recipe is quite delightful, is turning your attention from yourself to others. How? By blessing them, releasing them in your thinking. Because when you bless other people, you help them. And that, in turn, helps you. It's a game changer. And it's another thing you can turn into a personal ritual, something that you do every morning or every night or both for a set amount of time, because I'm going to do this for 30 days or longer. And it's very helpful when you're working on self-forgiveness to do it. So you create something, a ritual, that's not overly complicated, because otherwise you'll stop doing it, right? It's very simple. Like, for example, you light a candle, and that's the signal, I've started. You light the candle, and then for a moment, you close your eyes, and you think of people you love. That simple. And then after a moment, you think of people who love you. And then after a moment, you think of something you love doing. And you can think about whatever you like, except during the sacred time, you don't dwell upon the past. It's that simple. So there are some suggestions I hope you can incorporate if self-forgiveness is an issue for you. Confess, get help. Help yourself by following up with acknowledgement and release. And then turn your attention to helping others in a daily ritual of blessing. Now, forgiving each other. Oh, that's fun too. So let's begin by looking at what gets in the way of forgiving each other. Well, I can only talk in this whole forgiveness matter from personal experience. I think one of the major blocks for me in forgiveness is the confusion about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. And so a long time ago, somebody suggested that I create a list of what forgiveness isn't. It's very helpful. You know, I borrowed it from all sorts of different places, websites, therapists, practitioners, teachers. I made my own list to make sense for me. So you might find that helpful too. So here's my list. Maybe it'll spark interest in you to create your own list. Forgiveness is not excusing unkindness or wrongdoing or admitting that what was done was okay. That's not it. Forgiveness is not forgetting that something painful happened. Forgiveness is not overlooking poor behavior or dropping future accountability. It's not that. Forgiveness is, well, it doesn't need to be like a supernatural experience, you know, otherworldly, transcended. It can be quite messy and emotional and real. Forgiveness is not denying or minimizing your hurt feelings or sweeping them under the rug. Forgiveness is not reunion with the offender necessarily. In other words, it's not granting permission for it to happen again. It's not dropping all of your survival mechanisms and common sense. And forgiveness is not easy. Not necessarily easy. Although the result of it is ease. But the journey is quite messy. And, you know, if you're afraid of your feelings, it can be hell. So Making a list of what forgiveness is not is very helpful, and then making a list of what it is the other side of it. You know, this is a partial list, and I'm still growing it. It's freedom. Forgiveness is relieving myself from the burden of the past. You know, even as I make this list, I can feel there some of these are still out of reach. Forgiveness is embracing the possibility of being a whole person again. Forgiveness is giving the person you forgive, or the entity, or the corporation, or the school, or whatever it is, or the family, the opportunity to be whole again themselves too. And you know, another item to add to my list of what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not revenge. Or the hope that you will get remorse from them. Oh, that's a big block to making progress. You know. And sometimes it's physically impossible to get remorse or acknowledgement because the person who you haven't forgiven might have passed on. They might not even be alive. Or it might be something like life itself, you know. Or I don't know. I just know that sometimes revenge is not possible, which can lead to a tremendous feeling of stuckness and frustration. So the only thing I can do here is offer advice and my opinion. And my advice is this: forget revenge or getting even or payback. Because it's something for which the price is always more expensive than we thought. You know, there is something better than revenge. Oh, it's better. It's way better. And it's this: healing, wholeness, life. Well, making that journey there, you know. Talking about what happened and being heard, that can be very healing. It's not always available, but that can be very healing. Because, and by the way, talking about what happened, it's not the same as rehashing old hurts over and over and over and over again and never letting someone forget what they did. There's a difference in intention there. You know, because at some point we have to move on, move forward. Oh, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote about that in Philippians, about the difficulty of moving on. It's very tender. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." You see, in other words, I don't think I'm there yet, but here's what I do. Here's what he says I do. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Well, I love the tenderness of his acknowledgement that he's not there yet. You know, because it can be difficult to press on forward, especially when you haven't had the chance to tell your story and you haven't been heard. You know, it makes me think of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of South Africa. You may have heard of that very long time ago now. It was a kind of experiment in forgiveness and healing, because during the apartheid years in South Africa, torture, violence, crimes against humanity were quite common in South Africa. And so there was an opportunity for people to speak after the regime was ended. And one of the ideas behind the commission was that testifying in an open, safe session might contribute to the lessening of the pain, to help with the feelings. Now, the testifying couldn't erase the past. See, reconcile doesn't mean erase the past. To reconcile means to bring two things together, two things that are unacceptable and undesirable, and to say, yes, that happened. It doesn't make it okay. It's quite painful to bring it out and say, yes, that happened. And in the telling of it, to possibly create the opening for softening, for forgiveness among the ones speaking, among the ones listening, because the perpetrators were also in the room sometimes, and also for those people whose stories may be too painful even yet to tell. Which brings me to the next point, compassion with the process, when it's very difficult to move. You know, somebody said about that commission, testifying may actually increase anxiety in the beginning, but the hope is that over time that it will create the space for the easing of the pain. And it made me think of like when you get a bee sting and you pull it out, it's sore still. You've done what you need to do for the healing, but it aches. Then over time, it gets better. And I think that pain is what makes forgiveness work such difficult work. I think sometimes it feels easier just to ignore it and call that moving on. Or to turn your back on what happened and just keep going on. However, it is rarely the case that ignoring helps achieve happiness and fulfillment. What happens, rather, is that under the surface, the unforgiveness goes to work on us. And then it pops up in our language. It pops up as the reason why we can't, whatever, thrive. And holding a grudge takes energy away from our lives. You know, that it uses up energy that we could be using for other things, like connecting and creating and living and loving. Now, there are all kinds of ways to release the past. You know, you and I may not have access to a commission and a public testimony, but many people have used other strategies to get similar results, such as writing it down, journaling, or writing a letter to the perpetrator that you don't ever mail, and so on. There are books and books and books and methods and exercises on how you can release the past. There are even websites. If you go and look, there's a 4-step method, a 10-step method. In other words, what I'm saying is today we are resource rich in strategies for how to go about doing the forgiveness work. And I understand if you don't want to. I understand, you know, because whatever strategy you use, I think it's so important to remember not to force yourself if it's not working. You know, the story I share frequently because of the impact it had on my own forgiveness work was the story of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who, when she became very, very ill, she was dependent on nurses' aides coming into her home to care for her. And she noticed that they seemed to be throwing out a tremendous amount of trash, enormous. And then when she could finally move around again, she found out that it wasn't trash. They were taking her stuff daily. They were taking everything, paintings, keepsakes, diplomas. And it was such a betrayal to her. And in the book where the story is told, there's this beautiful acknowledgement where she says, "I should forgive, but I don't want to. Not yet." She says, "I'm not even working on it." obviously I'm not ready yet. Oh, that made such a difference to me. It's so real and so vulnerable, you know, especially those first three words, I should forgive, the acknowledgement that I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's not the time. Oh, there's something so beautiful about that. Not now. And in that, there is the suggestion of willingness, not yet, but maybe one day. That's what I'm interested in when it comes to forgiveness work. Openness, to keep forgiveness as an option on the table. Realness, to know I'm not ready now. And vulnerability, to this feels really awful. So I've talked to you today about the importance of forgiveness. I've talked to you about the blocks that sometimes emerge. And I want to leave you with this. If it's not the right time for you, fine. It's not the right time. The most important thing I think you can do is be gentle with yourself and see if you can find that place where something inside of you can say, and I might be willing to be willing one day. I invite you to breathe in with me and exhale into a moment of prayer. As we recognize the one supreme power that is everywhere present, the Creator, that which never withholds itself and which is the source of all that is. I identify myself with that, as I identify everyone in the sanctuary with that, the unconditional self-givingness of this universe through us, to each other, and to creation. And I realize then that it in me represents that power which can and does create, connect, and love. And so I yield to it, I embrace it. I'm talking about the love of the universe. I let it guide me into appropriate actions for my own life, for the life of my family and community, and for all beings. And I release this word, the spiritual mind treatment of mine, into the action of the law, and together we say, and so it is. And once again, a deep breath in, followed by a sigh, and as we make the transition to our offering time. On your way in, you received a bulletin. And in the bulletin, there is a report from your giving intention team giving you quite a lot of statistics right from 2017, 18, and 19. As you know, one of our goals was to recover from the impact that the fires had on our giving intention program last year. And as you can see, we have done that, and our community has responded very strongly. You can see we have exceeded 2017 numbers by $10,000. And so there is every reason for us to turn around and look at each other and feel connection and pride and gratitude and joy. So thank you very much for your vote of confidence in your center.